Oh, we lift our hands and surrender to you, Master. Our hope is in you. Our strength is in you. Our life is in you. Our joy is in you. And we welcome you. We ask for your forgiveness in any area where we've offended you. We repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Lord, we repent for coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger, selfish ambitions, works of the flesh, playing religion. Lord, we don't want to just know about you. We want to know you face to face. Please, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to receive what your Spirit has for us. As we welcome you, Holy Spirit, let the anointing and the presence of your glory break every yoke of bondage. Free those who've been taken captive by deception. Free those who've been taken captive by sickness, disease, infirmity, and bondages. Set your people free, Master, and bring us into the unity of your Spirit, that we may be one with you, that the image and likeness of Christ would express himself through each and every vessel to fulfill your call in each and every one, that we may expand your kingdom and bring glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in him all day long. And it's a good day to die, isn't it? Hallelujah. Good day to die to yourself. Turn to Psalm 146. Ooh, yeah. Psalm 146, first three verses. Praise the Lord. Hello. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, you praise the Lord with your mouth, not with your thoughts. You don't praise the Lord by being silent. You praise the Lord with your mouth. In fact, your mouth is now the altar of God. If you are the temple of the living God, your mouth is the altar of God, and that's where the sacrifices of praise come from. So, see, I want you to understand something because, you know, remember we talked about being in the wilderness. Amen? And the whole world is in the wilderness. The body of Christ is in the wilderness. And we're staying in the wilderness till two events happen, the rapture and the wrath. The rapture and the wrath. But for you and I who are in the wilderness, there's oases, there's blessings, there's all kinds of things. While the world begins to struggle in survival, we surrender. Has everybody got it? So in this, we must maintain our priestly garments because that's what God is establishing in the wilderness, priesthood. And a priest ministers to the Lord. So he says, praise the Lord. You cannot, in fact, you have no right ministering to anybody else until you learn how to minister to the Lord. If you can't minister to the Lord, you're an offense to God. Hello? See, that's nothing but stinky religion. But there's a difference between relationship, because there's an area of reverence to God where you praise him. Where you praise him. Praise the Lord. And it says, praise the Lord, all my soul. That is with your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You are going to praise the Lord. Why? Because you're going to bring God's presence. It's your responsibility to bring God's presence, and you bring God's presence by praising the Lord. Because without his presence, we're nothing. We're nothing but a bunch of words. And then you're not backed by the anointing. You're backed by the flesh. Oh. It says, while I live, I will what? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. In other words, you're going to make every opportunity to praise God. No matter what. You know, just a simple hallelujah is praising God. So while you're in the store, somebody should be hearing hallelujah. While you're getting gas, there should be a hallelujah. When you're standing before the judge, hallelujah. When that officer's writing you a ticket, hallelujah. See, a hallelujah is always an expression of joy, no matter what your circumstances are. See, because if you truly have a relationship with the Lord, when you make a mistake, you don't get beat up. You repent. Sorry, Lord, and get back into the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. Hello. See, that's the difference between a believer that's miserable and a believer that's joyful. And if you're a miserable believer, please don't tell anybody you know Jesus. Because you're an offense. We're to be joyful. Not happy, joyful. Joyful. See, so you're going to be joyful by being in God's presence. It says, while I live, in other words, while I'm in this realm, because we're eternal lights, right? We're not humanites. We're eternal lights. While I live, I will praise the Lord, and I will sing praises to my God while I have my being, while I'm here. I'm going to praise him. Why? Because it's going to bring you access to the other realm. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the sons of men, in whom there is no help. See, if you're a praiser of the Lord, your help comes from the presence of God, not from man. Has everybody got it? And in this, there is a reward. Now, I want to share something with you, because the Bible says praise. That means you must be obedient. And there's a joy of obedience. There's a joy of obeying, isn't there? Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, that's it. See, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. That's God's presence. You know, people try, the greatest thing that you can be is free. Free from bondages, free from, you know. And that happens when you praise the Lord, because God's presence, the anointing, severs things. Now, the anointing is God's presence, God's power, and God's truth. And by knowing those things and fellowshipping in the anointing and living in the anointing, the Bible says not only should we walk in the Spirit, we should live in the Spirit. You will always maintain joy. Does everybody got it? Why? Because if you're going to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you're going to be obedient. And the fruit of obedience is joy. Does everybody got it? The fruit of obedience is joy. Why? Because you know you just pleased your Father. And there's great joy there. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Is everybody there? There is therefore what? Now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. Now hold on a second. He's saying, even though you're saying you're a believer, hello, but if you're in the flesh, because the word believe means to follow. If you say you're a believer but not a follower, you're not a believer. You're a wannabe, not a willoughby. He says that there is condemnation to those who say that they are believers but are in the flesh. But there is no condemnation to those who are believers who are what? Walking according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement, say righteous requirement, is obedience. Ooh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. See that word might? That means you must cooperate. Might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the righteous requirement is obedience. That means that you and I must cooperate with God. That's why the Bible says you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Remember what grace is. Grace is the plan that God has given us to escape the deception of darkness and the wrath of God. It doesn't give us a legal right to willfully go out and sin and fornicate and do all those things. In verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. Ooh. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And where there's life and peace, there is joy. Has everybody got it? So the righteous requirement is our obedience to hear, to see, to trust, and to do. Everybody got it? Our righteous requirement, the righteous requirement is our obedience to hear, to see, to trust, and to do. So he who sows to obedience reaps joy. He who sows to obedience reaps what? Without obedience, we don't have the right to ask. Has everybody got it? If you're not an individual who is obedient, you don't have a right to ask. If you are an individual who is not obedient, you don't have a right to ask. Only those who are obedient have a right to ask. Do you understand that? I didn't say make a mistake. I said those who willfully disobey do not have a right to ask. There is a right to access God, and there is a righteous and honorable way to access him, because he still is God. But then there's a place where he is our Father. And the Bible says, honor your father. Respect him. So what right do we have to go ask if we're disobedient? We don't. In fact, he won't. He'll hear you, but he won't answer until you get things right. Praise God. Romans 14. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to keep it rolling, man. Keep it rolling, glory. Romans 14 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God, I said the kingdom of God is what? Not eating and drinking. You know, eating and drinking is called lust of the flesh. Hello? It's not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the kingdom of God. Again, the food represents here the lust of the flesh. This is what separates us from humanism. It separates us from humanism because the area of having your righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is the kingdom of God. Well, we call humanism humanites because the word night means blind. Humans are blinded to the truth. A humanite, the humanite status is having joy in the area of materialism. But they call it happiness. It's really not joy. See, humans are looking to be happy. Has everybody got it? Humans are what? They're looking to be happy. Now, in eternal light, which should be me and you, we are looking, it is established, it's a status by having joy in submitting, surrendering, and obeying God. It is a joy to do those things. God has everything. He has everything. There isn't anything that he doesn't have but one thing. Now, this may sound strange, but there's one thing God does not have, and that is your obedience. You must give it to him. Has everybody got it? You must give him your obedience. That's what he's looking for. our obedience. That's what separates us from the world. That's what separates us from humanism. For we have joy in obeying God. The joy of obedience. Where the world is looking for happiness, we are walking in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Oh, is everybody okay? Again, God has everything except our obedience, in which he so desires for our own benefit. Turn to Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we're going to keep it rolling, man. Keep the heavens open. Verse 19. Repent. Hello. Is repenting obedience? Yeah. Hallelujah. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Amen? Does everybody see that? So what's he saying? If you're obedient, when the refreshing comes, when the presence of God comes, you'll be refreshed. If the presence of God comes and you haven't repented, you're not getting refreshed. You're getting convicted. And hope that you'll come to repentance and then get refreshed. So in this, because God has been doing a refreshing right now, isn't he? So repentance is obedience, isn't it? That means turn away from sin, which means the presence of evil. Turn away, and this refreshing comes. And when this refreshing comes, you express joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 31. The joy of obedience. Psalm 31. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Starting at verse 1, Psalm 31. Would you all read it with me? In you, O Lord, I what? I put my trust. Oh, nice. Let me what? Never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me, deliver me speedily, be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. Now, if there was no repentance involved, would he have the right to ask? No. In other words, if there's disobedience, you don't have a right to ask, do you? Only obedience allows you the right to ask. Some people are crying out to God, oh Lord, deliver me, oh Lord, do this. And God's saying, get obedient, will you? Why don't you do the first thing I asked you to do? When you do the first thing I ask you to do, I'll answer you. Verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. What he was doing was surrendering all, wasn't he? Man, I remember one time I was coming from Daytona Beach. I was on the motorcycle, and I got hit by a monsoon. And in this heavy storm, they had these concrete barricades all along the side. And I was going to an overpass, and I'm thinking, all right, I can pull over. I mean, my goggles were filling up with water. If I had windshield wipers on, it wouldn't help. I couldn't see. I had to keep emptying my goggles. And I'm telling you, and you couldn't stop because people were behind you. People were in front of you. The only thing you could see was about 2 feet in front of you. That was it. And you only saw the brake lights when people were hitting the brake lights. And I'm going, man, if I can't even pull over those concrete barricades, I committed my spirit to the Lord. I said, Lord, I commit my spirit to you about three times. As I was driving, I'm thinking, man, Lord, well, you sent me here. You got to get me home because I went there to do an outreach. So I figure, well, you got to get me home, but, you know, home to you might be another place. So please just get me home one way or another. You know. So I was getting ready to get under this overpass, and I'm thinking, all right, praise God. Yeah, I get ready to pull over, and there's a barricade there. I couldn't even pull over to the barricade. I had to wait to the next exit, and I'm telling you, it was lightning, thundering, storming. I couldn't stop all the way, and that's all I could do is continue to commit my spirit to the Lord. But he did get me home. Hallelujah. I put my trust in him. I think I said this psalm about three times. In verse 6, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Now, in this, in other words, he was asking this, and he got a response. That's why he was saying this. You heard me. All right. You made way. You set my feet in a wide place, not a skinny place where I got to try to balance. I'm in a wide place. Why? Because his obedience gave him a right to ask. And, you know, do you ever get joy when you hear God? Or when he answers you? Hey, man, let me tell you, people do backflips. They're hallelujahing all day long. Until the enemy steps in. Then God doesn't answer for some reason because there's a delay. But then the enemy says, you're not happy. Well, why am I not happy? Because God didn't answer you yet and you didn't get what you wanted. Oh, you're right, I'm not happy. That's humanism. Humanism is always looking for happiness. Happiness is not the will of God. Joy is. Are you listening? This is what separates us from humanism. Let's continue to go. 1 John chapter 2. You know, people who are looking for happiness are emotional. They're emotional lights. And it's not because they're lights, because everybody can see them. 1 John chapter 2. That's why people get divorced. That's why there's all kinds of stuff up and down individuals, because they're looking for happiness.
Well, I'm not happy anymore, so I'll just get rid of it.
That's humanism. Happiness is humanism. Has everybody got it? And there are many believers who are still humanites. They're still looking for happiness. They do not seek the face of God. They seek the hand of God. They're always looking for something for him to give them. And they're not willing to give themselves. They portray to do that. But in true reality, they're only looking for God to bring them happiness. The Bible says the will of God is difficult and narrow. That's the path. Hello. What you want is freedom, not happiness. You want freedom. Freedom from yourself, number one. See, people are, that's why when things begin to go wrong or whatever, an individual, they don't get the material. See, the world is looking for materialism. They're looking for relationship that bring them happy. They're looking for, that's why they go to bars. They look to be happy and they just associate with demonic forces. That's why the bars say food and spirits. It's food and demons. So they look to get drunk. They look to use drugs. What are they looking for? Happiness. And the world looks for happiness. But you and I are not to look for happiness. We're to seek the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, all things are there. That's why people are some people are real sensitive. They're real offensive. You say something to correct them. Oh, you don't love me. Oh, I don't know. They can't submit because they're looking for happiness. They have a form of godliness, but they betray the power of God. Does everybody understand that? They try to portray it. Does everybody understand that? But they're really not walking in the power of God. They're walking in emotion. Because the anointing and the power of God breaks the yoke. It severs you from the world. It severs you from a humanite so you can be eternal light. So that you're looking for the presence of God for fulfillment, nothing of the world. Your trust is in him, not in man. Your trust is in his promises, not in what man promises. Your trust is in his provision, not welfare. Not in a government. Hello? Your trust is in God. He holds it all in his hand. And it's time to grow. And come out of immaturity and religiosity. It's time to mature as an adult believers. It's time to come out of yourself. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Do not. Come on, now what? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I want you to understand that the world looks at love as happiness. If they're happy, they love. If they're not happy, they don't love. Because to them, love was always an area of take, not give. It's always an area of take. Did you ever remember when you were in the world and you had a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever? And the one thing that they would say is, well, if you love me, you'll give me this. If you love me, you'll give me. If you love me, you'll repent. Hallelujah. If you love me, you'll die to yourself. Praise God. Remember, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. In verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, I want to share something with you because this is powerful. Again, the world of humans, the humanites, humanite means blind, humans that are blinded to the truth. Amen? And eternal light is one who sees the truth. Right? So humanism associates love with happiness. And again, many believers still are caught up in humanism. They are looking for happiness. Now, in this, he said, here it is, happiness, lust of the flesh. Here it is, happiness, lust of the eyes. Here it is, happiness, pride, the pride of life, which is not of the Father. Has everybody got it? We are not happy, we are joyful. There is a difference between those who are truly followers and those who want to be, or believers that are still humanism. There are many believers still humanites. In fact, even right now, you know, the body is in judgment. The Bible says that judgment is in the house of God first before he judges the world. But there is judgment. We are in the beginning of sorrows. And in the beginning of sorrows, there's judgment of the lust of the flesh. In the first part of tribulation, there'll be judgment on the lust of the eye. Why? Because they'll be deceived. There'll be great delusion, won't there? And in great tribulation, there'll be judgment on pride, because pride will bring them to the end of themselves, which is death. And who's the prince of pride? Satan himself. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Again, humanites seek lust of the flesh. In other words, selfish desires for happiness. They seek lust of the eyes, materialism, for happiness. And they seek the pride of life for happiness. And that is acknowledgement, fame, and reputation for happiness, instead of a joy in obeying the Lord. Has everybody got it? Again, the world is in judgment, isn't it? There's many people who are not happy with God because of not meeting their needs. So what they do is, because they're not happy, they begin to dabble in other areas to try to meet their needs. And it actually is a result of sin, because all disobedience is sin. So they're not happy with the church they go to because it doesn't fulfill their soulish arena. Or they've been offended because they were told this is how this fellowship operates, but they don't want to submit to it. So they're not happy with the church. So they seek another church, but see, what they're actually doing is they're humanites. Their believers are still humanites because they're looking for happiness instead of freedom. Freedom comes in obeying God also. Has everybody got it? And by sowing obedience, you will reap joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. Has everybody got it? See that word rejoice? That means you've done it more than once. You're going to rejoice. In other words, you're going to keep bringing it back. Rejoice what? In the Lord, always. Again, I say rejoice. In other words, don't allow happiness to replace joy. Because happiness will bring you into humanism. Joy will maintain the presence of God. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is what? At hand. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Ooh, anxiousness is a fruit of humanism. Anxiousness is a fruit of humanism. Why? Because I can't trust. Can't wait, can't trust, got to have it now. And they're looking for happiness.
I got to have happiness right now. So I'm going to go out to the store and buy something.
I'm going to have happiness right now, so I'm going to go out and fornicate. I got to have happiness right now. So I got to go out and do something right now. You know, people think by getting married, they're going to be happy. Hey, marriage is full-time ministry, man. So they're always looking for the opposite sex to be happy. That's humanism. You get married because God told you to. Not because your emotions or selfish, fleshly, lustful desires did. Hello. You get married because God told you to. Then you'll have joy. Then you will have love. Because love is a choice, not a feeling. Love you too, honey. Love you too, Liz. Be anxious for everything. Oh. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer
and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whoa. See, you always have peace. Joy. Where there's joy, there's peace. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you go through your stuff. Not if. You're going to go through the stuff, man. Because God's going to crush you, mold you in his image. If you're claiming to be a believer, he's going to put you on a potter's wheel. Yes, if you feel that slap in the back of the head every once in a while, that's God trying to get your attention. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17. You know, people are jumping. You remember, I mean, people are committing suicide and all kinds of stuff because they've lost money in the stock market and all. You have to be an idiot to invest in the stock market now anyways. I mean, you know. People have lost all their money. Now they're not happy. And they're blaming it on everybody else. Also, you're not happy with your spouse. You're not happy with your job. You're not happy with your church. Because it's not going your way. Ooh, Gucci goo. Oh, you little humanite. That's a flesh creature. See, when you're looking for happiness, you've just put on flesh. See, people are looking for happiness in the world. I'm not looking for happiness. I have joy. Why would I look for happiness? Amen. Do y'all get this? This is important. This is what separates you from the world. Don't look for happiness in a bottle, in a bed, or in a pill. Look for joy in the presence of God. And you'll have access to everything you need. He'll provide far above all you could ever ask or think. Then you'll have a right to ask when you're so obedient. When you sow obedience, you have a right to ask. Then all things will be granted to you. Now, here's another thing. Sometimes it doesn't come that instant, you know. So when you ask, God tests you.
Let's see if they'll really believe I'll provide.
Are they going to be joyful while they're waiting? Or are they going to try to dab in something else and miss me and grab hold of the devil? See, the devil is standing right there to oppose you. He's trying to convince you. Come on, we need to be happy. You know, Satan's doctrine is do what you feel like. Why do people do what they feel like? Because they want to be happy. But we don't do what we feel like. We're not looking for happiness. We're looking for the face of God, not the hand of God. Because when you find the face of God, the hand of God is released in your life. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Would you read it with me, please? Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Whoa, he's looking for happiness in the world. Whose heart departs from the Lord. Many depart from the Lord. Because God hasn't provided according to they want it. I had a gentleman call me the other day. He was in my class in jail. And said, Pastor, I really need your help. Would you? I said, did you fill out an application to come into the program? No, why not? You've been in my class for all this time. You haven't filled out an application. You want me to accept you now? Please, I need your help. I can't make it out here. I said, you're willing to do whatever it takes? Yes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So David went to go pick him up. He said, turn over your cell phone. He said, I ain't doing that. And he took off. I said, so you're willing to go to hell with a cell phone? There ain't nobody to call. And you can't receive no calls either. There's no internet, no nothing, man. It's over with. His cell phone obviously brought him happiness. But it also brought him trouble. You know that. In verse 6. For he shall be what? Like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes. In other words, he will miss God because he's looking for happiness. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. So I want you to see, when you see things in the Bible that says happy is the man, it means joyful is the man. You know, some of the Bible's got a little carnal translation. That's why you got to have the Spirit to understand it. Has everybody got it? Come on, we do have a Bible that's all English except for the word Christ. It's Greek. Should be anointed one, right? That's why you got to have the Spirit, because the Word of God is three-dimensional. And the Spirit wants you to. That's why it's so important about being filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, so you can interpret what God is truly saying. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Hallelujah! And whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves shall be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Glory to God. That's the difference of one who has joy. Is everybody okay? Let's close at Psalm 16. Hallelujah. So when I said, let's close at Psalm 16, you must have gotten joyful. Don't get happy now. Psalm 16. Start at verse 1. What's it say? Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows will be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Setting the Lord always before you, not your desires. God is to be set before you. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be what? Shall not be what? Moved. Now again, I want to share with you that sowing obedience will reap joy. You know, it's amazing how many people think that tithing is giving. It isn't. Tithing is a command. Offering is giving. Hello? Does everybody get it? Tithing is a command. See, we got confirmation. Go ahead, listen to that confirmation. Y'all better get obedient now. But you know, there's an area where your obedience is an area of giving of yourself. The Bible tells us sacrifice and offering God didn't require, but our what? Our obedience. He's not looking for your sacrifices. See, so many people express their sacrifices to God. And he's saying, come on, move that over. Because see, when you got to proclaim to God your sacrifices, that's humanism. He's looking for our obedience so that you can receive his joy. You are giving of yourself. You are laboring unto the Lord now, not for yourself. Let's finish. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad. And it didn't say happy, did it? See, glad is joyful, isn't it? And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in hell or Sheol. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you what? Allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness. In other words, they sought his face and his presence came. Now watch what happens. And at your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. Oh, praise God. The world's got a song out. Be happy. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. But people who are seeking to be happy are always worried. If you sow obedience, you will reap joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, obedience is an area of submitting, surrendering, trusting, and giving of yourself. That's why Jesus said the first thing, if you want to follow me, is you must what? Deny yourself. Why? Because he knows if you will, you'll have joy. See, everything God tells us to do is beneficial for me and you. He doesn't need anything but our obedience. And the reason why he wants our obedience is because he's trying to get us something. Him. And if you have him, you have everything. It's real simple. You didn't have to go to college or Bible school to learn that. The highest thing that you can have is a relationship with the King of Glory. And where there is reverence, that is called the fear of the Lord. That means you reverence him. And one of the ways you reverence him is to obey him and worship him. If you can't obey all the Bible, hello? Then you're not his disciple. You can't choose what you choose to obey. Then you're still a humanite. Hello? This is not about religion, man. God did not come to bring religion. He came to establish a kingdom. A kingdom. a kingdom of warriors, third dimensional warriors, a kingdom of children, offsprings who will be obedient and expand on and take territory, rescue souls, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. Time is running out. Don't look for happiness. Look for his face. Be obedient, and you will find the joy of the Lord. Amen? Father, we give you all a glory, honor, praise, and we thank you, Master. We commit all things to you, and we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we become humanites looking for happiness and disobeying your word in any way. Please, wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, and reestablish our first love, you. You in every area. And be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah.